Heavenly Father, you are gracious, loving, and kind. We thank you for this opportunity to sit in your house and worship with your people. May we continue to feel your spirit throughout this service. In your name, amen. We truly are blessed to be sitting here at Wellspring Church. Take a moment. Think about your blessings that you have received this week. Allow the Holy Spirit to flow into your body. Thank you, Jesus, for all you have provided for us. I am going to be sharing from Nehemiah 4 this morning. If you'd like to get your Bibles ready to go, a little bit different way to present Nehemiah 4. I'm going to share, after I read through it, I wrote my notes down, and so this is what I was learning and thinking of and praying on as I was reading through Nehemiah 4. God's chosen people would come out of Egypt and live among a promised land only to be conquered by the Babylonians. It was their sinful ways that prompted God to allow this captivity to occur. During their time in captivity, they did grow stronger in their walk with God. They did ask for forgiveness, and they did stop worshiping idols, and they started to completely honor God. Nehemiah was ordained by God to bring security and blessing to the city of Jerusalem and its people. The work was going on to build the walls, and this was essential for the security and the livelihood of all who lived there. However, Sanballat from Samaria and Tobiah from Ammonite were angrier than ever, and they continued to try to intimidate the workers. They wanted to discourage them. They wanted to stop them. The wall builders were mocked that their work was shoddy and that it would fall down as soon as an animal jumped on it. They were not builders. They were ordinary people doing the work of God. There is so much hostility in our world and hostility toward believers in our world today. Many will mock you, make fun of your faith. They want us to say, oh my gosh, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to be a Christian. It's not worth it to live this way. But we need to stand strong against the bad behaviors of others. We need to learn how to love others, no matter what. The whole rebuilding of Jerusalem was planned and prayed over. The tools and supplies that they had were not the fancy new ones. They were simply ones available to them, or makeshift tools. The people worked together as a team to get the work done. They carried on. They carried on. The opposition had failed over and over again. They didn't realize that it was God's plan at work right in front of them. It would have been a major blunder for the people of Jerusalem, the Jewish people, to give up right then, at that point. They knew this was God's plan, and they needed to keep their eye on their goal. Over time, the discouragement was layered on, and it was almost unbearable. And we've all experienced those unbearable moments. Satan wants Christians to be discouraged, to give up. When we feel that, we need to stick with the game plan. Say, Satan, get behind me. We need to find our Christian friends and have a chat. We need to read from the Bible the words of the Lord. Nehemiah prayed continuously. His faith was a commitment to the goodness of life for all involved right then and for all who would be coming into the story later on. When you are discouraged, please don't turn to anger. Turn to God and leave your anger with Him. Allow God to work in your own heart. Give your anxiety and your pain to God. The community looked to Nehemiah for continued help to keep their relationship strong and to keep working on the wall. The people were able to continue working, and God was working within each person there. Do you sometimes feel God working within your life? It is amazing. And when you see others who are working with God as their leader, there is a difference, right? I'm not sure why success breeds opposition. Perhaps it's jealousy. With opposition, violence sometimes enters into the picture. At this time, the bullies outside of the city of Jerusalem were creating noisy confusion. A lot of evil planning was being done to discourage the Jewish people. Nehemiah continued to believe in the Lord. He remained strong, and he knew the time to rest would come later. He didn't worry, talk about the what ifs, complain about the lack of tools. He didn't do that. He remained strong. Through prayers to God, the Jewish people were able to sit together and develop a way to defend themselves. I read the term practical participation. While gathering all my notes for the sermon, that term practical participation kept coming into mind. It is necessary and doable for faith in God. Practical participation. We are not to sit and say, I'm a Christian, and then not help our neighbor. I'm a Christian, and then not donate food to the food banks. I'm a Christian, and let our neighbor's grass grow taller and taller. We are to join in with this practical participation so that others see the light of Jesus in ourselves. We are different. Christians are different. Moses participated in practical participation. He knew he needed to get those people moving. He got to the Red Sea and he prayed. He prayed. With God's love and God's support, the waters opened up and he was able to move his people and God's people across on a dry seabed. Boy, it takes good leadership to guide people to follow through and finish the goals that are set before them. Good and faithful people. At times when we can't see the end of a task, we may become nervous or lose excitement over what is occurring. Sometimes tasks don't get done. We need to rely and trust God. Nehemiah 4, starting at verse 1. Sanballat was very angry when he learned that we were building the wall. He flew into a rage and he mocked the Jews, saying in front of his friends and the Samaritan army officers, "What does this bunch of poor, feeble Jews think they're doing? Do they think they can build the wall in a single day by just offering a few sacrifices? Do they actually think they can make something of stone from a rubbish heap and charred ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was standing beside him, remarked, "That stone would collapse even if a fox walked along the top of it." And then I prayed, "Hear us, our God, for we are being mocked. May their scoffing fall back on their own heads, and may they themselves become captives in a foreign land. Do not ignore their guilt. Do not blot out their sins, for they have provoked you to anger here in front of the builders." At last the wall was completed to half its height around the entire city, for the people had worked with enthusiasm. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the work was going ahead and that they gap, and there were gaps in the wall of Jerusalem where were being repaired, they were furious. They all had plans to come and fight against Jerusalem and to throw us into confusion. But we prayed to our God and guarded the city day and night to protect ourselves. They were halfway done. But the people inside the city were recognizing the roadblocks, recognizing their lack of supplies. As tired as they were, they needed to rely on God continuously. Discouragement was seeping in. Jesus, as a builder, also builds lives and communities. And this is not an easy thing when you're dealing with human beings, right? Not easy at all. There's always baggage. Each of us have baggage. Each of us have found times or have been going through times where we simply feel like giving up. Again, turn to God. Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah listened to God's word. So they're halfway done with this wall when the adversaries thought that they would make this big, giant attack and that they would go after the top leaders and that they would take the upper hand of the people of the group that were building. But the enemies did not know that the Jewish people, some Jewish people, were listening to the plans, and they went right to Nehemiah and shared about the plan. They were doubting that they would be able to move forward. But Nehemiah did not panic. He placed the people where they needed to be, and he told them to trust in God. And he told them to think about their families. He did not simply wait for the attack. He did not retreat in fear. He wisely trusted, and in the midst of this scary time, was able to plan. He was the leader, encouraging everyone to rely on the Lord, letting them know that everything was on the line at that point. Turning back to Nehemiah, starting at verse 10. Then the people of Judah began to complain. The workers are getting tired and there is so much rubble to be moved. We will never be able to build the wall ourselves. Meanwhile, our enemies were saying, before they know what's happening, we will swoop down on them and kill them and end their work. The Jews who lived near the enemy came and told us again and again, they will come from all directions. They will attack us. So I placed armed guards behind the lowest parts of the wall in the exposed areas. And I stationed the people to stand guard by families armed with swords, spears, and bows. And then as I looked over the situation, I called together the nobles and the rest of the people and said to them, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. I believe he didn't flinch at all, and people saw that and knew that he was telling the truth. God had stopped the expected violence, and all the people were willing to go back to work. All the people were willing. The jobs were divided between building and protecting at that time. Most of the Jews carried their weapons and their building tool at the same time. They were ready to fight the Lord's battle. There was unity. When there is unity, things get done. God's work would move forward. The weapons for building were there along with the word of the Lord. The tools of building were there with caring for each other and building each other up. Unity. Nehemiah 15. When our enemies heard that we knew of their plans and that God had frustrated them, we all returned to our work on the wall. But from then on, only half my men worked, while the other half stood guard with spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. The leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah, who were building the wall. The laborers carried on their work, and with one hand supporting their load and one hand holding a weapon. All the builders had a sword belted to their side. The trumpeter stayed with me to sound the alarm. The people were very prepared to work and to carry on, as long as Nehemiah was leading them. The Jewish people were totally committed. The fear and discouragement was dissipating. The wall would need to be complete. Nehemiah was leading by word, deed, and attitude. He was working harder than any of them, and he was filled with his spiritual belief and spiritual gift of being a leader. He was respected. My two friends that were visiting us here last week, when I think back to when I had lots of time to be with them, they encouraged me all the way. One is an endless leader working with youth at a church, full of energy, leading the way, coming up with brilliant ideas. And I used to think, wow, look at her go. And the other one knows the Bible inside out, backwards and upside down, because of the way she was raised with her family, interacting with children and working with college-age students. Their attitude reflected joy in the Lord back then, years ago, and even in today's world. You may not think of yourself as a leader, but someone is watching you and believing in the things that you say and the things that you do. You are a leader in God's eyes. Our church family has experienced many blessings from God, and he continues to nurture and sustain us over and over again. We have learned to live out the goodness of God through prayer, studying the Bible, and by seeing how others live God's goodness. James 4:8 reads, "Come close to God, and God will come close to you." If only the world leaders would recognize the need to be spiritual, trustworthy leaders, this world would be a different place. We need to keep world leaders in our prayer. Nehemiah 19, chapter 4, verse 19. "Then I explained to the nobles and officials and all the people, the work is very spread out and we are widely separated from each other along the wall. When you hear the blast of the trumpet, rush to wherever it is sounding, and then our God will fight for us. We worked early and late from sunrise to sunset, and half the men were always on guard. I also told everyone living outside the walls to stay in Jerusalem, and that way they and their servants could help with guard duty at night and work during the day. During this time, none of us, nor I, nor my relatives, nor my servants, nor the guards who were with me, ever took off our clothes. We carried our weapons with us at all times, even when we went for water." This is serious stuff. They were working day and night. I know, Jake, you're the painter. Could you imagine carrying your sword and your can of paint and your paintbrush all at the same time? Right? But they were insistent and persistent in belief and in prayer. And I love the notion of unity among the people. God wanted the people of Israel to be safe. The Jewish nation was going to continue to exist. They were not to blend in with others. They were together as God's plan was to have the Messiah come forth from them. The Jewish people will have a role in God's plan, in God's plans until the final days. The Messiah would come from that community generations later. Jesus, the builder who was able to work with all kinds of people would come from that community. Jesus, from that community, is building you up right now. He is removing the rubbish. He's removing the sin from your lives. He is leading you. Allow him into your heart. Allow the Spirit to fill your heart. And give all glory to God. There always seems to be a form of ridicule, people saying that your faith is worthless. These negative words cannot harm us unless we let them harm us. My mother, who is 86 years old, just said that this week. I'm not going to let what other people say about me bother me. I wish I was younger when I figured that one out, right? Why do we let what other people say bother us? Resonate with us, stick with us. It's rubbish. Let it go. Many Christians are legalistically threatened. Lawsuits among Christian businesses and schools are rising and challenging fundamental beliefs. We are being attacked. But we do have faithful leaders like Nehemiah who are creating a unity, a community of unity. We need to pray for that. Personal discouragement occurs when self-doubt becomes too difficult with all of the worldly circumstances and temptations occurring. Look for family. Look for church family. Look for friends who will build you up with the confidence that Jesus loves you. Fear. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear can paralyze us. Fear spreads easily. Sometimes people enjoy sharing and telling and leaning in and telling stories about fearful things. You are a child of God. He loves you. He is caring for you and watching over you. Do not let fear keep you from reaching your full potential as God's child. God's people are being attacked. The world's perception of you is not something that we need to lean into. You need to have faith. You need to be comforted by the love of Jesus. God's love helps us to rise above and move forward. We're not alone. He allows us to live and share our faith with love and kindness in our hearts. It is only with God and his eternal wisdom that Nehemiah's faith and leadership, as he relied on God, that the Israelites found the strength and the confidence to carry on. They built and they built for safety. They built and they built their temple so that they would continue to worship God. And the Messiah would eventually be delivered from generations down the road past this incident. From the people of this city. It was written. They followed God's plan. They trusted and they believed. In unity, they moved forward. That's my prayer for all of us here at Wellspring Church. Know that God is in control. Know that every day of your life is in God's hands and it is planned before you even wake up. Give your day to God. Give your life to God. Good things will continue to happen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as a congregation that we are able to know the lessons that you are teaching us each day. Allow us to be a faith-filled leader for the people around us. May we be gracious as you are to us throughout our days. We pray for your continued guidance as we carry on this week with your love shining in our hearts. We lift up those who will bully us this week, and we pray that their hearts will be open to your love. We pray for the students returning to school, the teachers, the custodians, the secretaries, the teaching aides, and the bus drivers, Lord. Be with our children as they begin a new school year. Father God, allow our words and our actions to bring glory to you. In your precious name, amen.